Come now to the exposition of God's holy word. And congregation, if you would, please, let's take our Bibles out together and turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, as we continue in our exposition of this book. And we are looking in these days at this final section in Ephesians 4, namely verses 25 through 32. And we want to look again today specifically at verse 29 and 30. Let me read to you in your hearing Ephesians 4 and beginning with verse 29. Paul writes, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Let's now join together before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you as we come before your word. And Father, as we come to your word, we ask that you would grant your Spirit, that he would teach us and open up your truth to our hearts today. May he find our hearts teachable and humble and ready to receive the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, that it would do its work, that it would confront us and rebuke us, that it would encourage us and comfort us, that it would call us as a people to live more in conformity with your will and your ways. We pray, Father, that we as a people would be ready to run to its truth and to do what it says by your grace. And Father, as we gather here today, we pray that you would not only bless your people, but Father, that you would save sinners from their lost condition. Lord, that you would show them they need Christ as their Savior, that you would show them that Christ is the only Savior for sinners, and that they would be enabled by your grace to receive Jesus Christ, to rest in him, to trust in him, and to have him alone as the basis of their faith and salvation. Father, bless your church, extend your kingdom, and save the lost. We pray this all in Christ's holy name. Amen. As we look today, we continue in looking at this verse, verse 29, dealing with the subject of corrupt speech. We said last time that there is this call of a putting off and of a putting on. We are to be putting off, verse 29, corrupting talk that comes out of your mouths. And then secondly, we are to put on what? That which builds up, that is edifying speech, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The phrase there, corrupting, is the word sapros. We said this last time. It is a word that means corrupt, worthless, rotten, or putrefying. We quoted from Reverend Richard Phillips in his exposition, and he says this of this word. He says, how much a part of the old life is corrupt speech. We delight to gossip, tattle, malign, and destroy reputations, people, and even churches over a salad and a soda. You know, people say, hey, let's get together for lunch. And then they proceed to badmouth and backbite against a fellow brother in the Lord. We are to not have corrupting talk. We are to have edifying speech. The word there, as we noted last time, that phrase building up, speaks of that which encourages, strengthens, enables, helps our fellow believer. And what is the motive? Well, in order that it may minister grace, that it would aid, comfort, encourage, and truly help those who are fellow believers in the Lord. So as we looked at this last time, we then moved from that quick exposition to consider some of the specific examples of what corrupt speech is. Now, Paul already has addressed one of those in verse 25, that is, false speech. Any kind of false speech is corrupt speech. Anything that is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is corrupt speech on its face, inherently. We added to that the second area which we wanted to talk about, and that is the area of gossip. Gossip is talking about others behind their backs. We said that there is a word that the Bible uses often when it speaks of gossip, and it is the word whispering, a whisperer. A whisperer is someone who goes around, and they're sneaky. They are secretive. They don't do this publicly, but they do it clandestinely, and they speak against and speak gossip regarding others. This is corrupt communication. Now, today we want to add another form of corrupting speech, and that is slander. And if you will look with me, please, look down at verse 31. As we're going to see in our subsequent expositions, verses 31 and 32 really, in many ways, are a summary of everything that's been set up to this point. It's kind of a summarizing fifth principle. And in verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." There's that word, slander. The King James translates it as evil speaking. So here again, Paul has an idea here of this speaking evil to one another. It literally is the word blasphemi. It's the word from blasphemy is where we get our word. Do not go around blaspheming others is the idea. So when we talk about slander, let me just give you some basic definitions to start off with. First of all, what is slander? It is, one definition, to deliberately speak against another person for the purpose of inflicting injury to them. Now, there is another word besides slander that the Bible uses in this category of corrupt speech. It is the word backbiting. Some translations use this word often in these texts, as we will see in our exposition. And the idea of backbiting is to speak spitefully or hatefully about someone behind their back. And that is a very picturesque word. They would never walk up and inflict harm openly, directly to someone, but rather they're backbiting. They're operating behind their back. What they're doing is very hurtful and harmful, and yet it is behind their back. Someone has said, by way of illustration, in the Old West, it was the mark of a coward to shoot someone in the back. Well, that's what backbiting is. It is not only cowardice, it is corrupting, it is evil, it is wicked to talk about others behind their back. Noah Webster's Dictionary of 1828, and if you don't have a copy of that dictionary, let me encourage you to purchase one. It is still in print. It's a large green dictionary. Some of our homeschooling families have that dictionary because it's an excellent dictionary before our language has kind of been dumbed down. It has this on the subject of slander. Slander is a false report or to report maliciously, uttering to others and tending to injure the reputation of another. How is it lessening the reputation of another? By lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens, by exposing him to impeachment and punishment, or by impairing his means of living. That is, it is speaking against someone, and it has a real harmful effect on that person. His esteem is lessened in that person's eyes that we're backbiting with. And it can harm them personally. It can even harm them in terms of financially, their job, because you're inflicting that kind of harm. John MacArthur says this about slander. Slander strikes at people's dignity. It defames their character. And number three, it destroys their reputation. It is intentionally bad-mouthing a person to defame, discredit, damage, or to destroy them. It is, in the language that we sometimes use, character assassination. It can be done very politely. It can be done with a kind of a spirit of spirituality. Oh, let's pray for Sister So-and-so, because this is the situation she's going through. And there's this spinning, and there's this reframing, and there's this kind of withholding certain truths. Congregation, we must always realize when anyone says anything about anyone else, there are always two sides to every story. Amen? There always is. There is always two sides to every story. And so we must be very, very careful about that reality. So that basically is what slander is. It is speaking about someone negatively behind their back, bad-mouthing them, backbiting against them. Where does the Bible address this? Is this a big issue? Well, we'll find, and turn with me in your Bibles, back to Leviticus chapter 19, that this is a sin that is repeated often and addressed often in the Bible. This is not some minor hobby horse that the pastor's getting on. This is a big sin that is repeated over and over again by God as a sin to not be engaged in. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. Just reading an example from the law, and we're going through the book of Leviticus. Notice chapter 19 and verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Listen to what John Gill says here at this verse. And the King James uses the phrase talebearer. That's a good way to render the word, because that's the etymology of what people would do. They'd go around bearing these tales. John Gill says, quote, "The word signifies a merchant, and particularly one that deals in drugs and spices, and especially a peddler in those things, that goes about from place to place to sell them. And such having an opportunity and making use of it to carry stories of others and report them to their disadvantage. Hence, it came to be used for one that carries tales from house to house." Hence that idea of tale bearing. "It is done in order to curry favor for oneself and to the injury of others. And such a man is a detestable person and ought not to be encouraged." Gill says there are two motives behind this. It is to, number one, curry favor for yourself. You're building yourself up when you're bad-mouthing someone else. And you're, as it were, trying to harm, hurt, and injure that person. Matthew Henry says this on this verse. He says, "We are all forbidden to do anything injurious to our neighbor's good name, in common conversation or in witness bearing. It is as bad an office as a man can put himself into to be the publisher of every man's faults, divulging what is secret, aggravating crimes, and making the worst of everything that was amiss, with design to blast and ruin men's reputation and to sow discord among neighbors." Here we see Matthew Henry saying, doing something like this is just about as bad a thing as you could ever be guilty of doing. Very strong language concerning this sin. This is not some minor sin. And again, you may recall a few weeks ago, we said so often the tongue sins of speech are looked at as lesser sins, but they're not in God's sight. Turn with me, if you will, over in the Psalter. Let's look at a few examples in the Psalter. First of all, turn with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, and let's read here from this Psalm of David, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 15 in verse 1, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Well, he gives an answer, verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Here in verse 3 again, we see in the ESV the word slander. It's the word backbiteth in the King James translation. This is the mark of a godly person. They walk blamelessly. They do what is right. They speak the truth. Verse 3, they do not slander and they do no evil against their neighbor. Again, listen to what John Calvin says on this. He says, David, after briefly setting forth the virtues with which all who desire to have a place in the church ought to be endued, now enumerates certain vices from which they ought to be free. In the first place, he tells them that they must not be slanderers or detractors. Secondly, that they must restrain themselves from doing anything mischievous and injurious to their neighbors. And thirdly, that they must not aid in giving curry to false reports. Of a good name is a treasure more precious than all the riches of the world. Proverbs 22:1. No greater injury can be inflicted upon men than to wound their reputation. It cannot be doubted that the design of the Holy Spirit is to condemn all false and wicked accusations. So says John Calvin. This is a sin that is not the mark of the godly. They don't speak evil or blaspheme, as it were, or speak devilish words against their neighbor. Look with me, please, in your Bibles, turning over to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, beginning in verse 1, reading verses 1 through 5. Again, another Psalm of David. David writes, Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Verse 5. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. Here, of course, in verse 5, this is David speaking. He is the author of these words. Listen to what John Calvin says. He says, quote, in this verse, David speaks more distinctly of the duty of a king who is armed with the sword for the purpose of restraining evildoers. End of quote. David, as a king, a ruler, he says, I will not put up with those who slander, those who speak words of backbiting. And it's very strong language in verse 5. I will destroy them. Very strong words indeed. Look with me, please, in your Bibles, if you will, just a few pages over to Psalm 140. Psalm 140 and verse 11. And just a quick survey of a short sampling of the many verses that we could look at. But again, enough to see that the Bible repeats itself on this so very often. We read in Psalm 140 and verse 11. The scripture says, let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. The King James uses the phrase evil speaker. Literally, the word means the man of tongue. That's the literal Hebrew rendering of this phrase. Someone who's wagging their tongue and doing evil with their speech. An evil speaker, a slanderer, a backbiter, a talebearer who is harming others by what they say. Matthew Poole, his commentary says this. He writes, the evil speaker is one such as a slanderer, who is a slanderer with innocent persons. And so here again, the idea is that of slandering others. Let's look over in the Proverbs. Turn with me, please, in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Just a couple of examples in the Proverbs as we kind of see this pattern. And we see in Proverbs 10 and verse 18, it says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Of course, you realize when the writer of Proverbs speaks of someone as a fool, it's not talking about someone that's just kind of a silly person. The idea of a fool in Proverbs is the idea of someone who is wicked, someone who is a sinner. They're a fool. Look with me, please, in Proverbs. Just turn a page over in your Bibles to chapter 11. And we see in Proverbs 11 and verse 13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. There's the idea of discretion and the opposite of that. What is the opposite of discretion? Well, it is slandering, revealing secrets in order, again, very often, for one's own self-advancement and the harm of others in the process. Turn with me, there are many places we could turn to Jeremiah, but let's turn to the New Testament and look at two or three places. Turn again to Romans chapter 1. And here we turned to Romans 1 last time. So let's just notice here in this same passage, this same text, where we have the sin of gossips, we have the sin of slanderers as well. Romans chapter 1, and look with me please in verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. And that's where we looked last week, talking about gossip. And then notice the first word in verse 30, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. So there again, in verse 30, they are slanderers. It is the word kataleos, which literally is the word kata, which means against, and laleo, which is the word for speaking. They are speaking against other people. It could be very quietly and secretly. It could be with a whisper. But they're speaking against others. And again, the King James translates this as backbiters, because that's how they do it. They are not open, outward, and up front. They are behind the back of the intended target to bring down. Look with me, please, in your Bibles over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And here we have the qualifications of office bearers, and specifically, beginning in verse 8, it addresses the office of deacon. 1 Timothy 3, and let's just read part of this, verses 8 through 11. It says in verse 8, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Then notice in verse 11, he addresses the wife of the deacon, the wife of the office bearer. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Here we see this idea of slander in verse 11. The word there is the word diabolos. Now, most of you are familiar with that Greek word. What is diabolos? It's the word for devil, isn't it? It's speaking with a devilish tongue. It's the idea of accusing and speaking against others. It's like the devil. Congregation, this shows us here that when it comes to the office bearer in the New Testament church, there are obligations upon the wife of the office bearer as well. It's not just the qualifications of the man in office, but his wife as well. Listen to what Joel Beakey says. He says, quote, "The wife of an office bearer is held to a high standard in all areas of life," end of quote. And Beakey is careful there to point out, it's not just talking about deacons' wives, but this applies to elders as well. All who would be in the office of a New Testament church, this is a very important thing to consider. Turn with me, if you will, one final place as we make our list. Turn to James chapter 4. James 4, and notice verses 11 and 12. Here James addresses this. He doesn't use the exact word, but it's getting to the point. James 4 and verse 11, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" James says, basically in strong language in verse 12, who appointed you as the lawgiver? Who are you to stand in judgment over someone else and speak these words negatively, these words censoriously, these words critically about another believer in the faith? James basically says here, there is a God and you are not him. And don't act like him and judge others and criticize and speak evil against them. Well, there are many other places that we can turn, but now just turning back to Ephesians, we see that even in our present text, in this larger context, verse 31, this sin of slander is a part of what Paul is thinking about when he's talking about putting off corrupt speech. Let me conclude this morning by giving just a few practical words of instruction, a few practical words of help pastorally when it comes to dealing with this sin in ourselves and in others. And again, this is not unique to me. You will find these suggestions in the writings of Richard Baxter. Pastor Albert N. Martin speaks of some of these in his series on the tongue. So this is not anything unique. We're not trying to recreate the wheel here. But how are we to eradicate, if you are guilty of speaking negatively about others, going behind their backs, speaking against them, what should you do? Well, first of all, what you should do in dealing with this sin is recognize this is displeasing to God and you need to get it out of your life completely. And so you do that by reflecting on how evil this sin really is. Again, as we said before, so often these things are treated very lightly. Well, yes, they do say things, but after all, they're a good person. But we should realize It is evil in the sight of God. It is, number one, repeatedly forbidden by God in the Bible. We looked at some scriptures from the law all the way to the epistles in the New Testament. But congregation, get a concordance. We just looked at a very few verses that we could have looked at today. It is repeated in the scriptures over and over again. That tells us how serious it is, a sin before Almighty God. Secondly, not only is it repeatedly forbidden by God in the Bible, it is uniquely useful to Satan in his designs. So we need to deal with slander. Satan himself is a slanderer. Revelation 12 and verse 10, he is the accuser of the brethren. That's who he is. Slandering people is doing the devil's work. When we speak against other people, whatever tone or whatever tenor it may be, it can be done with very gracious words. And still, we're driving knives into that person. It is speaking like the devil. It is devilish. Thirdly, not only is it repeatedly forbidden by God, uniquely useful to Satan, but it frequently spreads like a deadly disease among God's people. It moves rapidly and irretrievably. And that's usually the point of the backbiter. They want this bad news to spread because it's building them up and tearing the other person down. Many people can be infected before it's even ever discovered. And certain assumptions and belief systems and ideas and impressions are made, and all based upon the slanderous words of a backbiter who had an agenda when they spoke those words. So if we are going to deal with slander, we need to reflect on how evil this sin is. Number two, consider, if you're going to deal with this sin, how unloving is this sin of slandering others. Whenever we speak against someone else, that is very, very unloving. Very unloving. Scripture says in Romans 12 and verse 10, this duty to love each other. Love one another with brotherly affection. That is to be our universal calling, that we love each other with brotherly affection. Paul writes of love in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love thinketh no evil. It isn't quick to take up this accusation, this slanderous word. It is the opposite of love, to quickly believe it and embrace it and accept it. The truth of the matter is, it is hard to truly love someone and speak against them these slanderous words at the same time. Slander is full of hate. It is lacking in love. It can be presented in a way that sounds spiritual, but it is hateful. It is lacking in love and damaging to a brother or sister in Christ. Reflect on how evil this sin is. It is serious to God. Consider how unloving this sin is. It is the opposite of love. It is hate. And then number three, remove yourself from the company of slanderers. Whenever you get into the company of those who are backbiting and slandering, you need to realize you don't need to be in their company. Now, sometimes it's unavoidable. You're there and you're in that situation and boom, what do? Well, if you are in a situation and they start slandering or backbiting, someone suggested three things that you can do. Number one, remind them how much God hates slander and corrupt speech. Now, that will usually shut them up immediately. You say to that person, you know what? God hates slander. God hates false, hateful, backbiting, corrupt speech. And they'll probably stop in their tracks. Secondly, share with them that you refuse to be a receptacle for their corrupt speech. That you will not entertain it. You're not going to be a vessel polluted by it. And then number three, you should refer them to the person that they are slandering. If they're speaking evil against someone, you should say, I don't want to hear that. You need to go and talk to her. You need to go and talk to them if you have an issue with them, if this is something that is a serious issue. You know, it's the old saying we've said before, if you can't say it to their face, don't say it at all. It's not edifying speech. Someone will say this, well, you know what? Well, what if it's true? What if we're saying it's true? Well, congregation, the truth is not the only standard that we're called to consider. Amen? It's not just whether something is true or not that should regulate how we talk to each other. Paul says in Romans 14 and verse 19, so let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Here we see in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, we're not to be speaking corrupt words, but what? Rather, the opposite of that, that which is building up and edifying one another. So we ask ourselves the question, are we building that person up or are we tearing that person down? Congregation, these are very practical words for us to consider. You may not have a problem with this issue, but you may have a friend that speaks to you who does. And so you can encourage them. You can share these truths with them because we want to edify them, not by encouraging them or allowing them to continue in this sin, but rather to point them to the place where what they say as it relates to speaking about anyone else is building them up. Not just building each other up in the conversation, but the person that's being spoken about. Not tearing down, but building up. Congregation, this is what it means to live with this loving connection in the community of Christ Church. We have that as our desire, our motivation, and it leads us to curb our tongues, to speak the truth in love, and to never engage in backbiting or speaking behind people's backs. May God help us that we would be discouraged and we would renounce all forms of corrupting speech. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we recognize that these sins of the tongue are often entertained and they're not considered that serious. But help us, Lord, that we would realize that it is devilish to slander our brother or sister, that to speak a word against someone, even couched in words that sound spiritual, is actually wicked and the work of the devil. Help us, Lord, that we would be a people that speaks edifying words, that we never tear others down, that we build each other up, that we speak a word in season, as is fitting to the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Father, to those who do not know your grace, the saving power found in Christ our Savior, may you today open their eyes and hearts to receive Christ as their Lord. May they see how corrupt in sin they are, and may they be turned to Christ and find in Him true cleansing, true salvation, deliverance from all sin. Father, we thank you for that saving power of Christ. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And for His sake we pray, amen. Let's all stand together now as we prepare to be dismissed. Again, the words of Holy Scripture, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.